are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Careful what you wish for. As the Cavaliers get Boston, and like most of the teams that have walked into TD Garden, they get blown off the floor. And the clock hits triple zeros, and it is over. The Celtics strike first in the Eastern Conference semifinals. The final score, Boston 120, Cleveland 95.
D-Dub steps left off one dribble. Shoots! Boston three at the left side, Grant. Timeout Mavericks, 16 for Williams.
87,
Oklahoma City.
Ryder sending it back out for a shot at clock. Zibanejad towards the net. Knocked down. Trocheck scores! He scores! That's it. Trocheck wins game two in double overtime. And it's bombed by his Ranger teammate.
Miles Wood in space. He's got some speed. Wood towards the net. He scores!
And now, wondering if there's anything better than overtime playoff hockey, well, maybe barbecue, Sir and Petro.
Settle down, Spaz. That would seem to be, you know, applicable.
Reach for the sky. Don't know if that's something he does all the time or if that's was a one-time deal. If it was a one-timer, to use a hockey parlance.
We're getting some strong ratings on the hockey.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen those?
I have. Yeah, the TNT and ABC been helping out, and some compelling action and record, well, not record viewership, most watched, what, second round
in
game?
A dozen
first
years.
First round game in more than, more than 10 years.
That was game seven.
Mm-hmm, on Saturday.
Rangers-Leafs. But yes.
Then overtime again. No, I guess there was a game seven on Sunday, and then two overtimes last night. Two overtime games, one of them double, with the Rangers coming from, Avs coming from 3-0 down, or somebody came from 3-0 down. I think I got those two games.
It was the Avs. Avs were down to the Stars.
Yeah.
Or as I said in our pre-show meeting, the Mavericks.
Yeah, you're right.
Got my Dallas teams confused.
There is a Mavericks, and they are in Dallas.
Same arena, even.
Yeah.
I often, when I'm thinking about, because I do things color-coded stuff, obviously, I occasionally get the Dallas Mavericks and the Orlando Magic confused for just a second. And I think it's not the Mavs, it's the Magic that are playing. I don't know why. They have similar color patterns, similar shades of blue, and one's navy blue, one's, for some reason, every once in a while, but twice a year during the playoffs or during the NBA season, I will mean Magic when I mean Mavs, and say Mavs when I mean Magic.
Let's start with the NBA, then.
Let's do the NBA.
Did they get it right? No suspension?
I don't think so. I am not of the opinion that they got that correct, because I think you need to set some sort of precedent, and I don't think they did. And I'm not saying that means that suddenly it's going to be up for grabs and guys are going to be throwing things onto the court, you know, every 10 minutes. But they had a chance to make an example out of what Jamal Murray did twice. And they chose to whistle and look the other way. And I don't think that's a good thing.
No, I don't either. And, you know, I heard on ESPN they were talking about, remember Robbie Almar?
Mm-hmm.
Spitting in the umpire's face.
John Hirschbeck.
That was going into the playoffs. Not in it, but going into it.
Right.
They suspended him five games next year.
Yeah.
Was that the right way?
That's difficult to judge because the infraction came in the regular season. You could make the point that if it came in the regular season, it should be a regular season suspension. If he did it in game one, it should be a postseason suspension. Maybe there's some dividing there. It clearly is much less. Even a one-game suspension is a lot less damaging for the Denver Nuggets if it's next year than if it's game three down 2-0 on the road.
Right.
Because you can, you know, in the modern NBA, guys, teams, or players miss games because of load management on a fairly regular basis. So it's easy to recover from a Jamal Murray one-game suspension in November of next year, or whenever it is. But that doesn't really do anything. $100,000 fine is no, that's not chicken scratch. That's not couch. Although Jamal Murray has a lot of money, $100K is not a slap on the wrist.
No, it's not. And everybody wants to see the best game,
yeah,
best series.
Yep.
So they're giving fans what they want. What will come next? Do we really think that their justification was he wasn't throwing it at anyone? We don't know.
Right. Right. But that, how do you know what he was? What was he throwing it at then? Just in general? It's one thing because they showed a clip of the last time a player had thrown something on the floor along that line. I think Brian Windhorst did this morning on ESPN. It was a Heat game. I can't think who it was. I don't think it was even a playoff game. One of the guys kind of swiped at something with his hand and it went on the floor. And he was suspended a game, but not by the NBA, but by the Miami Heat, because he was mad because Eric Spoelstra had pulled him from the floor. And so the Heat suspended him a game. The NBA didn't. But that clearly was not necessarily thrown at somebody. Jamal Murray's sitting there watching the game, and he all of a sudden, he throws something. That's not frustration.
And then when that's taken away, yeah, that's what I didn't realize at first, how close they were.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's out of the way. Well, here's something else.
Here's something else. And when the NBA said, well, we couldn't eject him because we had to determine, what was the terminology used? He wasn't ejected for that because you'd have to determine that it was thrown at someone and not just thrown in frustration. So if you, I think he was aiming, he was looking at the court and he threw it. What was he throwing it at? So if you throw it towards a group of people, not any particular person, and it lands on the court, it's okay. You have to been able to pinpoint who he was throwing it at. If you pick up something and throw it towards the court and it lands on the court, you can't tell me you didn't mean that to happen, that it was just frustration.
So, like, $100,000 is how big a deterrent to someone who makes $50
million? Not very much. Not enough to where I think players would necessarily go into a game and think, I better not do that. Bounce a guy for a game in the second round of the playoffs? Yeah, guys might think that. But I mean, as much as the $100,000 fine isn't chicken feed, I don't think it's enough to get anybody's attention.
I just figure if anything a player does in the playoffs will affect you in the if a player shoots 1 of 18 in the playoffs, it harms his team in the playoffs. This is doing something stupid. In the playoffs, it should harm you and your team in the playoffs.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
And that's where the Alomar thing kind of has a fit here.
Yeah.
In the sense that it was a regular season game, so they, like, well, we don't want to penalize you in the playoffs. But he did this in the playoffs.
Yes.
So, look, am I going to lose any sleep? No. Am I really busted up over it? No. But I am surprised. I shouldn't be. Our poll question was like 45-45?
Yeah, it was. I think it ended up being about 41-39, and the rest were split between two and three games. But one game, when I voted zero, because what I thought it would be, 41%, I think, was one game, and 39% was two games, and maybe another 10 or 15% was or zero games, maybe 15% was two, maybe 5% was three, something along that line.
I want to look at how I worded it.
Yeah.
Because how many games will the Nuggets, Jamal yeah. Murray, be suspended? Not what should he.
Yeah. What will he?
And I think listeners are pretty good. 41.4, one game. 39.2, zero.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm mildly surprised. If it had been more than one game, I would have been shocked. But people like Brian Windhorst were saying, if he's suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, well, he's clearly being suspended. Windhorst was like right there like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, settle down.
If he's suspended. I mean, let's pump the brakes. So Now, let me ask you this. Will it matter?
Not very much, no. Because I don't think anybody, I can't imagine a player wants to write a $100,000 check, but I can't imagine that's going to really stick in a person's mind when they're sitting there on the court and they're irritated. Are they going to think about writing a check? Now, you might say that in that moment, if it is just fueled by frustration, do they even think about the possible suspension? I think they're much more likely to think about, if I do this, I might get tossed for a game. I think they're more likely to think about that, but they might not think about either one.
Will it matter in the series?
That he didn't get suspended?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Are they going to bounce back and win game three?
I won't fall out of my chair, but I don't think this is just a team that lost a couple games and they come back. They go to Minnesota. The Wolves again. I'm getting like, who am I talking about here? They clearly present more than just they played two games. They clearly present a matchup athleticism issue for the Nuggets. I don't think that just gets washed away by you go out and work a little better, get some more jump shots up at shoot around. That's a team that Denver has not come close to solving the riddle to. So, no, I don't think they're going to win the series. I think Minnesota's going to if they don't win game three, I think they're going to snap back and win game four and maybe take this thing in six. But I think it absolutely would have had a major impact had he been suspended. So, yeah, I think it does have an impact because I think they have a shot in game three. Whereas I think if you go on the road down 2-0, and one of your best players is out, I think that's first time you get down 10, the tent gets folded up, season over.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting because what if the Nuggets do catch fire? Like, I right now, nobody gives them a shot, right?
Not much of a shot. Even the champion's heart. They were so thoroughly dismantled. On in game two and for part of game one, that it's difficult to see them going on the road and mustering it up. It's going to have to be, I think you can't just rely on two guys. The other guys, Christian Brown and Michael Porter Jr., the other guys who contributed last year during the finals are going to have to step up. And Jokic has to figure out a way to not be completely flustered by whoever's in front of him. He's not been good in this series at all. And they're going to get Rudy Gobert back. So they seem to have found a way to. The one thing they've been able to do that you almost never see is they've made Nikola Jokic look flustered. He always generally looks like he's just kind of floating around the court and does things. He looks like he's sped up. Looks like he's not quite sure where he's supposed to go. When things don't work well, he's all discombobulated. But they got a hell of a struggle, hell of a hill to climb.
This might be market reaction from just what a blowout Monday night was. But you even talked about, Seren, yesterday how after Saturday – the betting market still had the Nuggets favored to win this series. The Wolves are now -750 on FanDuel to win the series. So clearly, and I get it makes sense because they took two games and it was just a bludgeoning in game two. But the market suggests that the reaction came, the betting reaction came much stronger after game two. I think there were a lot of people willing to say, okay, game one happened, time to reset, they'll figure it out, maybe it'll get exciting and go to game seven when otherwise the Nuggets would have won it in six or five. But now I it's hard to just, I mean, what if the Nuggets have been good for what, two quarters maybe of this series?
Yeah, and they needed some heroics to save them against a clearly outmanned Laker team. I mean, they needed two game-winning shots, else that series could have gone downhill.
And that's the thing. That series, games-wise, was, was not close. But each individual, there were a lot of games in there that were.
It's one of the closer five-game series you're going to find. And
well, I do think the underreported thing about the Nuggets is that, like, the idea is that they just arrived.
Yeah.
Last year, they just got here. The window just opened. It's been open for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And Murray was hurt.
Yeah.
in playoffs, and that set them back. So I do think the kind of perception of, like, well, here, this is the dawning of the Nugget age, not so much.
Yeah, it's going to look like they caught one at the end before the window shut, is what it's looking more likely. And I'd be inclined to try to find out how many defending champions, you know, lost the first two games at home and went on the road and see what happened. But I don't know that there's going to be enough of a sample size to get much out of it. But it's certainly something I'm going to look at.
What did you say the T-Wolves were before game two to win it all?
I thought the Nuggets still were.
The Nuggets were plus 480, right? And they were the second favorite.
Oh, to win it all?
To win it all. And they're now plus 1,600.
I was just looking at the I was just looking at odds to win the series. Let me pull up to win the NBA Finals. They're minus 750.
No, I know what they are now. I've got it open right now. The Timberwolves are plus 320.
To win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I don't know
what
they
were. But the Nuggets were the second favorite at plus 480.
Yeah.
So that one game
and I think
has sent the Nuggets to.
The Wolves were like 700.
That's what I think,
similar along that line.
And they're now plus 320.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like.
Ahead of the Thunder, by the way.
Yeah.
And the Thunder are plus 650, and they look impressive last night as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, are we seeing, have teams at least gotten smart enough around the NBA that they don't leave enough good pieces available to put around the big two, the big three?
Could be. Could be.
Because I do think the Mavericks got better this year over last year. You know, they got Kyrie Irving in season, and everyone's like, oh, here they go, and then they don't make the playoffs. Oh, what a terrible move. This year they're the five seed. Could have been higher like everybody else, if not for some injuries. But they put some pieces around them, and they got better. Mm-hmm. And they won their first round against the Clippers, and now they come in against a team that's been rebuilding for a while. Picking high for a while, having draft picks to trade and maneuver for a while.
Yeah.
And as I think the second or third youngest team in the league, the Thunder are.
Yeah. Yep. They talk about it every time they win a game, they mention it.
So I think part of it is the league is better. Like Dante DiVincenzo is not on a league minimum supporting some, you know, big three.
Yeah.
He's one of the core pieces for the Knicks. You know, Jalen Brunson didn't get a waiver. He got a big deal. The Knicks said, no, this guy can play. Right? I don't know that it's as easy as LeBron, Wade, Bosch, and being able to put good pieces around them. And I don't know that we've had, and I'll always state, that was a big two with a really good third wheel.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh was,
no, he was,
make no mistake about it, not on the level
he wasn't there.
Of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. You know, the Clippers are probably the best example of a big three, and by name a big four, because of Russell Westbrook. But Kawhi Leonard can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
the Nets tried
James
it.
Harden's on the downslope.
The Nets tried it as well, and they couldn't stay healthy. They tried load management, and they got the postseason. And I also remember, you know, with Denver, how much of the talk the last month or so of the season was that maybe they were just wait. No, they're just waiting for the postseason to begin. Let's just get to the playoffs, and we'll be good. And then, because it worked for the Warriors, but the Warriors won two titles before they started looking like that team. And then, and they also added Kevin Durant to a team that had won the previous 2 years, and or won two of the previous. Well, one of them had been in the finals the previous 2 years. They lost in 16, but they had actually won a championship before they started thinking, all right, man, let's just get into the postseason. Denver, really, they won a title, but they don't have the kind of pedigree I think the Warriors did when they got to the point where people thought, they're just waiting for the postseason. Well, if they were waiting for the postseason, that was a mistake because they don't look ready.
They also didn't have to. Now, they're still in the West and dealing with the West.
By the way,
also got the
Adam breaking everything down with a glorious Kansas City Kings t-shirt.
Yeah.
One of the great logos ever.
Yeah, KC Kings. But anyway, so right now, you know, the Mavs or the Nuggets are still dealing with the Western Conference. But it is noteworthy that last year we don't know what they would have done if they had to deal with the Celtics once the finals came. So, you know, last year, yes, their window was open and they took advantage of it. But they also got at least once they got through the West, a bit of a kiss from that bracket because the 8 seed was playing them.
That's true. I mean, I think the Heat were better than that.
Yeah, it wasn't a 38 win 8 seed. It was a good team, but
I don't the Celtics team this year. Porzingis was huge.
Yeah.
And so was Drew Holiday.
Yes.
Right? Those are two huge additions. So,
and Holiday was before the season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both were.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They got both of them. And so I think, you know, these are – the Celtics are still the team to beat, especially if they have Porzingis. Man, the T-Wolves. And are we looking at – I mean, we're looking at T-Wolves Thunder, right?
Oh, I think so, and I certainly hope so. And I also hope that they can find a way to keep the band together. How sweet would it be if it's Thunder Wolves for the next 3-4 years to decide that conference? That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Now, that won't thrill probably the it's not New York, L.A., Boston, you know, the big Chicago, the big markets. It's Oklahoma City and Minneapolis. But from a fan standpoint, I could care less where the teams are. I want to watch really good basketball, and I just would love to watch Minnesota and Oklahoma City play.
Oh, yeah.
How could you not want to watch those two teams meet to go to the NBA Finals?
And when you look at Gilgeous Alexander and Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about ready to be the two best players in the league, right?
Yep. Well, but Edwards probably already is. And
look.
KGA, or no, SGA. That's never going to be a name that flows.
They call him that, and I'm with you.
I'm like, which
when
one
did SGA
again?
Become a thing?
When people stopped wanting to say Shea Gilgeous Alexander, they went, let's just, that's going to be the, is he, to do the all-time hyphenated name. Where does he rank on the all-time hyphenated names in the NBA?
Douglas Roberts wasn't difficult to pronounce, but it took up a lot of Jersey.
Yeah. You could just say CDR, and that kind of flows.
Well, they did that with him, too,
even SGA doesn't exactly flow.
Where do you think Anthony Edwards ranked scoring?
Oh, probably, well, I don't, and pay as much as the regular season, probably fifth or sixth.
SGA.
Third. He ranked higher, didn't he? Did he score more points than I thought he did?
I think SGA was as high up as SGA was in the MVP odds. I'd almost say SGA was maybe second. And Ant-Man, I'd say like fifth or sixth.
Edwards is 12th.
Is he that far down?
But at 25.9.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, he spent... I
remember when they had like 27 and get you the scoring title.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
there's a game of going the opposite of the NBA, lots of possessions, or in the NFL, I mean, lots of possessions in the NBA.
Well, to our ongoing theme of how the NBA is evolving, here are the leading scores. Doncic, 33.9.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot he went nuts.
That's Jordan-y.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Giannis, 30.4.
Mm-hmm.
SGA, clunky. But they use it. 30.1. Three guys over 30.
Wow.
Jalen Brunson, 28.7. Kevin Durant, 27.1. Devin Booker, 27.1. Wow. How are they not better?
I have no idea.
Jason Tatum, 26.9. De'Aaron Fox, 26.6. Steph, 26.4. Jokic, 26.4. Tyrese Maxey, 25.9. Anthony Edwards, 25.9. Now, Embiid would be in there, but he didn't qualify.
Right. Not enough games.
But that's, you know.
Speaking of guys who.
Speaks to the changing landscape.
Speaking of guys who look like, I don't see the windows closing on them, but who. Luka does not look like Luka.
He's hurt.
He's totally hurt.
He's got a bum knee.
And it's just like, I think he's just, the season just needs to end. He can start it up again because they're not going to be what they could have been, because he's not going to ever be healthy in this playoffs.
Well, I think conditioning's always been a question.
Yeah.
Like, is he a fat ass? No. He cannot sit down and be a part of the program.
Right.
But is he SGA or Anthony Edwards?
No.
No.
Those guys are freak shows.
He's got to work more on his conditioning. He's got to get in better shape. I mean, he's so skilled, he doesn't rely on the quick twitch like other guys, because he's so incredibly skilled. But you got to be able to go the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean,
in a league where not only is it a 24-second shot clock, it's a 24-second shot clock when a lot of teams don't want to take up 12 of that.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's
Boy,
more.
He doesn't either.
Yeah, he's part of that party.
And is Jokic kind of along the same line? I mean, are we surprised that both these guys right now are losing series against teams that are younger and more athletic and seem to have more stamina than the two biggest stars that are not considered physical specimens?
Well, I don't think we're surprised on the Thunder because they're definitively higher seeded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But I think, yes, we're surprised with the Nuggets. Yeah. They were supposed to flip a switch, you know, and go.
And they didn't finish. I mean, we talked a lot about that Minnesota finished only a game out of second, which is true. But Denver wasn't terribly out, you know, far out of first either. I mean,
they were in like a three-way tie going into the last day.
Yeah, three teams vying for that one seed going into the last weekend. So it's not like they won, you know, 52 and the Thunder up there was 67.
Yeah,
they were just as close to one seed.
And I think that colors, I think, the perception of this Denver-Minnesota series on the way in, that it's the defending champions against this upstart team with this, you know, soon-to-be household name player. And what it really was is two teams that were pretty evenly matched the entire season, and maybe the better team is the worst seed.
What does the return of Reggie Miller to the Garden mean to anybody outside of the Garden? We asked that intriguing question, as well as talk some Heisman Trophy odds next here in the program. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up in our next hour, a little Lebo, a little feud.
Todrick.
A little Todd talk, maybe some Lebo sounds.
Could be.
We don't know. We don't know what he's got for us.
We never know what Todd's working on.
He's a wild card.
I never know what he's doing back there.
Frank Bowl in the four. Adam Rittenberg talking college football.
Yep.
Talking a little NFL draft as well.
Yes. Never tire of the draft.
You know,
overlapped college to pro. He had a great article using college sources to discuss how those players will be as NFL players. Bold. They think of everything at the worldwide leader.
And they got,
I dig it.
And they're not big on Worthy.
That's not true. Okay, I was going to say,
they are.
What?
Why are you having him on? We only want good news. Tell us good news only.
It is funny. I mean, I probably follow too many different social accounts, but there was the clip that got out of, we've discussed this a little bit, of the supposedly the first rep that Xavier Worthy had at rookie camp, and he does the back and forth in the pile, and the ball bounces off his hands. Bust! I'm like, stop it.
Not only did he
drop it, he
soiled himself right there on the field.
I can't believe they used a first-round pick. Look at this guy. But when you watch what you watched last year.
He asked Mahomes for his autograph at the first practice.
Yes, the ball bouncing off a receiver's hands in the air is not the first thing you want to see as a Chiefs fan. But
no.
He had one of the lowest drop rates in college the 3 years he was in Texas. I think he's going to probably be okay.
Yeah.
That is not
let it happen.
What do you always say? Don't swallow the olive.
Yeah, you know, set the glass down.
Yeah,
you know it's okay. You don't have to chug it all right now at the start. It's okay to sip his career.
Football is a sipping whiskey.
Why do we want to define everything right now?
We want to do everything right now.
Well, so much of the. A lot of the conveniences in modern life have made us less patient to wait for anything. That's part of it. The fact that with social media, everyone has a platform, essentially, a megaphone, and everybody wants to be the first person to say something definitive about something because they think they get credit for it.
Are you blaming Amazon?
No, not.
Am I the only one on its own? Am I the only one that's stunned? That I can be like, oh, we need Q-tips. And they're there at 8 a.m. the next day?
I don't think I've ever bought anything on Amazon that way.
Really?
Hmm.
think I have.
Like, what do you mean?
I don't think I've I haven't.
What do you
purchased,
want me to buy books?
No, I haven't purchased anything on Amazon.
$19.99?
Like something you can buy at a grocery store?
I think I've purchased one thing on Amazon. It was a gift for somebody else. That's the only thing I've done. That was 3 or 4 years ago. I just don't. I don't know. I just hasn't been something I've thought about doing. Maybe I should. I probably should be. I'm sure I'm missing out on an opportunity that I'm just not fully aware of.
I like. Now I want to be clear, sir. And you have, you know, kids and, you know, more things pulling your time. I don't. And I actually enjoy going to the store. I like that event. I don't know why. I like being there.
I do too. And there are things you can't.
It's hard to browse. And you can, oh, yeah, I need that too.
Yeah. I don't know if Amazon delivers meat.
What? I don't know if I'd get it if they did.
I'm not buying it.
Stick with the butcher block at Hen House.
I will be at Hen House. Yeah. But, yeah, I had a buddy, like maybe 6-7 years ago, pre-pandemic, for sure, had a backpack cooler. Mm-hmm. And it was our plan. Because we don't want to pay the outrageous prices at the pool in Vegas. So we were going in, packing a backpack full of ice and beer. Right? And I go, that's awesome. Where'd you get it? And he said to me, where does everybody get everything today? Amazon. And that was my wake-up call. I'm like, oh, I'm the adult. That was like 7 years ago.
I guess I got to get on board with this.
There's the
I didn't
running.
Realize you could get just everyday stuff like that.
When Jeff Bezos purchased Whole Foods, there was the running joke that he made a mistake and just said to his Amazon Alexa, order Whole Foods, and she mistakenly bought the entire company for him instead of just a basic order from Whole Foods.
I could see that.
That happened?
No, that's the joke. Amazon did acquire Whole Foods, but that was the joke of how it happened.
Unreal. How'd I get to that?
The immediacy. People want to judge players.
Xavier Worthy.
I also think there's an element of if you throw it out there, if you throw out he's bad or he's great, and it turns out the other way around, no one's, you know, it doesn't matter. Unless you have a million followers, people will call you out. But if you call it correct, then in 5 years, you can. I mean, hell, if you have 100 followers, you can send out that he's going to be great and send out one that he's going to be terrible. No one will know a thing. And then in 5 years, whatever you're right about, you can say, hey, look, I was right.
And specifically relative to Xavier Worthy in this city, I don't think he was the lead dog among fans who they wanted as a wide receiver in that position. So there's a lot of people that are they're not eager for Worthy to be bad because they're Chiefs fans, but they are kind of rooting for their pick. See? Told you. See?
Should have taken Ladd McConkey.
And maybe a level of, I don't know if desperation is the right word, but when the other guy you thought might be your stud receiver has gotten into a touch of boobery this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that explain why there are people in the media that continually keep talking about Kadarius Toney? Is that, I mean, that's the only conclusion I get. Rooting for your prediction or?
Could be.
I mean.
Really wanting it to be true?
Or, well, that's would be rooting for your prediction.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't think anybody's on the take.
Right.
Because I think Chiefs are too cheap. You know, not in a bad way, but
right.
They're not.
They're not reaching out to people going, hey, say
never
has anybody
been like, here's $50. Go say Xavier Worthy's going to be a Hall of Famer. Well, I don't think that's happening. But there is a little bit of
I'd consider it. No, I wouldn't.
I mean, there are people that I think are pretty. No, like. Yes. 3 yards of carry, 6 yards of catch.
He's a national guy who keeps falling for fake tweets, so.
Who's that?
Stephen A. Smith did it again.
What'd he do?
There was a fake tweet about SGA. He came from the Clippers, right?
Yes.
And there was a fake tweet, a known troll, making it seem like SGA admitted that he, you know, wanted out and shot his way out of the Clippers. and Stephen A. shared that tweet on whatever show he's on now and said, so, you know, let's start with that. And it was never true.
He was traded for Paul George, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which, you Clippers want that back?
Yeah, because George went Pacers, Thunder, Clippers, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's what I don't get
about
those teams. Like, draft, like, if the draft is hard, and SGA didn't go one.
No.
But, and I don't get them all right for sure. There was one fat-ass talk show host in Kansas City that said, this guy, if you're an NBA GM, you should be able to see that.
And do they have, I mean, do they turn over, like, managers in the EPL or something? Is that why they all feel a need to just get it done now? Because this guy's been, what's his name, Presti, has been hoarding top draft picks for years, and now it's, we talk all the time about if you make the right long-term decision, eventually the future becomes the present, you're going to be in a great spot. I don't know if GMs get canned at a way quicker rate in the NBA.
Well, I think two things.
Feel that pressure or what?
I think two things. One, they got an owner going, I want to win right now, who doesn't understand what it takes and how to build a team. They see stars. They know stars. Give me a star. Like, how is Jimmy Butler? How old's Jimmy Butler? Like, this is the new off-season topic for all the teams that are done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So ESPN and all the talking heads nationally, they'll talk about the series. But wait a minute. We're down to just eight teams.
He'll be 35 before the season starts.
Yeah. Okay, we're down to eight teams. And so we've got 22 teams that aren't playing, so we got to find a way to try to involve those fans.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, should the Sixers trade for him? He wants a two-year extension. He has 2 years left for age 35 and 36. He wants someone to guarantee him for even more money, 37 and 38.
Yeah.
And some team's going to do it. And Pat Riley's going to get a couple of first-round picks, and they're going to make good selections, and the Heat will be better.
Yeah. I'm not, and the whole playoff, Jimmy, it's 2 years he's done that. I mean, part of that is playoff Eric, I think, part of the key, because there's
Eric
no history.
Spolstra, yeah, coach.
There's no history to him before that of being much better in the postseason than he is in the regular season. And his career numbers are not that different. It's but the last 2 years, 27 points per game in both. But I think that's likely not to continue if he goes somewhere else. And he's older. So he's who knows how, you know, what condition he's in. He's a workout guy for sure, but that's going to fall off at some point.
But who? I mean,
bad investment that would be.
SGA, you know, Ant-Man. They can be super workout guys too. So who would you rather have? A great workout guy at who's 35, or a great workout guy who's 23?
Give me 23.
Oh yeah, for sure. and that's why to the Thunder's credit, and I know there's some people. There's a decent Thunder crew here in this town because it's the closest team.
Mm-hmm.
To their credit, they said, we're not going to go buy big free agents. So we're going to accumulate as many draft picks, as many lottery tickets as we can, and we're going to be firing. And in the meantime, they got draft picks and SGA, the best player in the deal for Paul George.
Yeah.
I mean, in basketball, similar to, I mean, what's a good plan in football? If you have a great quarterback, put cheap talent around a great quarterback, similar to basketball. If you have one or two great players, put cheap young talent around them and go.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder are great because I remember bringing on guys from down in Oklahoma City on the drill and saying, hey, I love what they're doing. Oh, I don't know. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you want to go do? Sign some mid-level free agent for too much? And this also points out the whole, well, the process didn't work in Philly. They're in the playoffs every year, first of all. And, by the way, their drafting was god-awful. I mean, mistake after mistake after mistake. Like, you go back, we did it last year. What the Sixers could have been. They could have had Giannis. They could have been the greatest team ever if they just took the right guy.
Yeah.
But they took Ben Simmons, and they took, who was the flake from Washington?
Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz. You know, they took the wrong guys.
By the way, SGA, we may have discussed this off the air. I don't recall seeing a player that has quite his career arc when it comes to points. He's in his sixth year. His scoring average has increased every year, and it contains two separate 7-point-per-game jumps from one season to the next. 10-8, 19, 23-7, 24-5, 31-4, and now 30.1. He's still only 25 years old. You don't usually have two separate jumps like that while continuing to get better. He's, for whatever they thought he was, I don't think anybody saw what he's been.
And
he's gotten
not.
To this point.
And I was president
25.
Of the fan club, and I what I thought he'd be, 21, like 9 and 12. Like, yeah. I thought he'd be a great assist guy. I thought he'd be a great steals guy, a great defense guy. I'm like 21 a game. I didn't see him scoring like this.
2 years ago, at 24, basically 25 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. You're like, that's better than I thought. And he was like, hold my beer. Yeah. I'm about to jump into a different stratosphere.
All right, I promise we'll get into the Heisman Trophy odds next here in the program. All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll play the feud coming up next, so if you want to be a contestant, get ready. That's coming up next hour. To start next hour, Heisman Trophy odds, they're out. What do we think? All the local schools represented. How about that?
It's
quarterback award.
Yes.
The favorite is Carson Beck of Georgia, followed by Quinn Ewers of Texas, Dylan Gabriel, Oregon. He came from OU, right?
Mm-hmm.
But down at 12, at 2,500-1, Avery Johnson, K-State. Tied for 14, Brady Cook, Missouri.
Well, that's, who would have thought that a year ago?
And tied at 18, Brady Cook's 3,000-1. 4,000-1, Jalen Daniels, tied at 18. Have we ever had all three? Have we had three local guys in the top 20?
Yeah, that, not that I can ever remember.
We went back. Obviously, the last couple of years, no. But when would it have been? If there was one. Reesing and Chase Daniel. And
that would have been 08, because Reesing wouldn't have been in the preseason odds in 07. But after the 07 he, after the 07 he had, he would have been in 08.
I could see that.
But I don't know who it was. Freeman still? I mean, Freeman was a high draft pick, but I can't remember what he would have been in any preseason.
Probably not.
Heisman odds?
Probably not. I think he'd have been gone by then. He was at Tampa by then, I think.
But I mean, like, I don't think we've ever seen this.
It's awesome.
No, it's we did the basketball thing a couple of years ago when they, you know, the 25 wins and NCAA tournament, first time all three had done that, and here we are. And then we went bowl game, first time all three had been in a bowl game the same time. First time all three won a bowl game. Now we're coming back, and first time probably ever that all three have their quarterback in the Heisman Trophy preseason odds. Hard to find the words to accurately describe that historical point.
We need to start. You've got boosters that donate to keep coaches and all that. We need to start some sort of booster system for Kansas City that is spread out evenly between the three schools so they can all keep their current football coaches.
Yes. And don't you wish they were all younger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
56, 58 for Klieman and Leipel. What's Drinkwitz? I want to say he was like 36 when he was hired. It's about 40.
Yeah, Eli Drinkwitz.
And all of them breaking your fat rule, too.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Leipel, really?
Yeah, Leipel can. He looks like he probably knocks out a 5K a day.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Eli's 41.
Okay. Drinkwitz is the closest.
Credit, yeah, man.
He's just not that.
Right. And he's never going to look really cool.
Why?
The hair.
You're the Mizzou guy. You.
Yeah. The hair is never going to. He's never going to look like a cool dude. But, you know, he keeps winning bowl games, and you can look pretty cool when you start trotting around with Cotton Bowl rings on your hand.
By the way, and listen, is anybody going to put money down on Brady Cook?
No.
I will stop you.
Yes.
If you do. Because it's not going to win. I really don't think Daniels can win either. Because I don't think he can stay healthy. But I think he could have a kind of year But Avery Johnson could have like a, I know there hadn't been an Eric Crouch-like year in a long time, but like, do you love Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers? Dylan Gabriel? Like, I'm not enamored with anybody up on the top. So if he had some ridiculous, I mean, if anybody's going to be Manziel, run for 800, spectacular runs,
yeah,
sling around, Avery Johnson's the guy. So,
for sure.
I actually think if you're a K-State fan, like, don't put $1,000 on it. But these odds, 20 plus 2,500 at FanDuel, you wanted to put $10 on it, I think that's a fun bet.
I'm down with that.
$10 to win 2,500 or 250. 100 to 1 is.
You're better at that than I am.
Yeah, 10 to 1 plus 1,000 is 10 to 1. Yeah, 25 to 1. 10 to win 250 on Avery Johnson. Fun bet to root for all year. All right, let's take a break. Ty Lebo joins us next. We'll play the feud for a Hen House gift card.
All right, how many 10-time Pro Bowlers went to USC? Brought to you by Good Sense.